Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now Jeffrey Toobin is here, legal correspondent for CNN and The New Yorker and author of The Oath about President Obama and the Supreme Court. Hi, Jeffrey. Welcome back to WNYC.
How are you, Brian?
I'm okay. You know, I heard that the Supreme Court...
It's a complicated question for most of us.
Which question?
How are you?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Today, this week, it is a complicated question indeed.
Yes.
I heard that the Supreme Court was the only branch of the federal government that did not shut down in Washington this week. Are they so above it all that they're even immune to hurricanes?
You know, there is actually a long history of this. They actually did shut down the second day on Tuesday, but they sat on Monday. You know, the court takes an almost perverse pleasure in making sure in showing the rest of the government that nothing stops them. There was a famous snowstorm during the 90s. When Chief Justice Rehnquist insisted on the court sitting, and Justice Kennedy and Justice Scalia were in a car together, and Justice Scalia characteristically exercised his power to waive traffic laws to make sure that they could get into court on time.
By the way, one of my producers just said in my ear, there was another branch of the government working yesterday because she got mail. So I didn't know that. I don't think I got mail. But
I didn't get mail.
Postal Service was out. Neither sleet, nor snow, nor superstorm, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you see Election Day shaping up in a legal sense? Are you bracing for court challenges to provisional ballots because of voter ID laws or the validity of ballots in any ways that you're keeping your eye on particularly?
Well, one of the extraordinary stories of this fall has been the very successful attempt by the Obama campaign, the Obama administration, and various public interest groups to limit the impact of all the laws that were passed by the new Republican administrations that won in the 2010 elections. You know, in state after state, when the Republicans took over after the 2010 elections, they passed voter ID laws, they restricted voting in various ways, and the court system has really responded in a fairly dramatic way, telling the Republicans that they can't do everything they wanted to do. So I actually think the impact of those new laws will be fairly muted, at least in the battleground states. Obviously, it's something I'm keeping an eye on. A lot of people are keeping an eye on it. But the legal victories, I think, have really been a significant story this fall.
Do you think the hurricane will present any new legal landmines? We were talking earlier in the show about Long Island, for example, where more than 80% of the Long Island Power Authority customers don't have electricity still, and it's going to be days and days and days and days. Well, there's a swing congressional race out on Suffolk County, in Suffolk County, and, you know, there are probably other things like that in the Hurricane Sandy area. Do you expect any of these things to wind up in court?
They could, because it doesn't appear that the storm has affected any presidential swing states in an important way. But as you point out, there are lots of congressional races, referendum races in states that are affected. Maryland, of course, has been very heavily affected. And while it's not a presidential swing state, there's a very important referendum there on same-sex marriage. That is very close in the polls. It's going to be there very well could be court action there, because you can't delay some votes but not others. The presidential election all has to take place on one day, but there may be an attempt to try to delay in certain circumstances. So I think these states are going to scramble and do their best, but I would anticipate the turnout might well be affected in some of these storm-affected states.
In your book, The Oath, you explore the complex relationship between President Obama and Chief Justice Roberts. Obama, as a senator, voted against Roberts' confirmation as chief. Roberts administered and slightly flubbed the oath of office when Obama was sworn in. They both went to Harvard Law School. How would you characterize their relationship?
I think it's somewhat paradoxical because most of us think of Barack Obama as the apostle of change. But when it comes to the Constitution and the courts, it's really John Roberts who has the agenda for change, whether it's about the Citizens United, which is, of course, the signature decision of the Roberts Court, or abortion, or racial preferences and affirmative action. It's really Roberts and the conservatives who are leading the movement for change, and Obama has really neglected the courts and not really paid a lot of attention to these issues, not talked about them, doesn't appear to be all that interested in them, which is surprising for a former constitutional law professor. But that's really been the nature of the conflict between them, which is one believes in change and one believes more or less in the status quo.
And, of course, the list of pieces of their relationship that I gave didn't even include the Supreme Court ruling on Obamacare, in which Chief Justice Roberts opened so many eyes.
Well, he certainly opened my eyes, and I wouldn't want to pretend that I predicted it. I was certainly more stunned than anybody that Roberts sided with the four liberals. But I do not believe that John Roberts last June 28th discovered his inner moderate. I don't think this is the sign of a new Chief Justice Roberts. I think he recognized that undoing the signature achievement of a Democratic president on top of Bush v. Gore and on top of Citizens United would really discredit the court in so many eyes and make the court a major political issue that I think Roberts pulled back from that particular brink. But when you look at cases this year about affirmative action, about the Voting Rights Act, potentially about same-sex marriage, I don't think John Roberts is going to continue to be voting with the liberals on the court.
You know, and I think it worked both ways. It cut both ways, because if he made a political decision to vote with the moderates on Obamacare because he didn't want the court to be politically discredited as just a conservative or a pseudo-Republican branch of government, well, there was such Republican blowback to his vote in that case, that was portrayed as being a political decision. So he was going to get wrapped as political no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of good things about being Supreme Court justice, but you get criticized for your ruling sometimes. And John Roberts is a big boy. He knows he has life tenure. He knows he's not going to be thrown out of office no matter what. But, you know, that's correct. He would have taken heat either way. But as Justice Robert Jackson said of the Supreme Court, we are not final because we are infallible. We are infallible because we are final. You know, somebody's got to have the last word, and it's them.
Jeffrey, I have to jump in with this news flash, which just came across AP. Are you ready, parents? The governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, has officially postponed Halloween until November 5th. Because of damage from Hurricane Sandy. So I know we did the call-in earlier in the show, and many of you are going to take your kids out, especially around now when it's still daylight, in areas where you think it's safe. And please, parents, if you are considering taking your kids trick-or-treating or letting them go trick-or-treating on their own, almost anywhere in our listening area, you have to be so careful of the possibility of falling tree limbs and other hazards out there. But the governor has weighed in. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says, kids, get the hell off the Halloween. No, he didn't put it that way. He said that Halloween is being postponed in New Jersey until November 5th. That means some kids are going to get to go twice, Jeffrey. You realize that?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a win for kids because, you know, they're going to eat candy today no matter what. And they'll just get more candy again next week. So life is good.
Political analysis of Halloween. The kids win. Were you surprised that the Supreme Court didn't come up as a question in any of the four debates?
Well, you know, it really is striking the absence of the Supreme Court as a political issue. I mean, in the last three presidential elections, it did come up in the debates. And I think this was the great benefit to John Roberts of the vote on health care, that it kind of took the air out of the Supreme Court as an issue. But whether the moderators asked about it or not, and whether the senators, whether the candidates discussed it or not, it's still a huge issue. And there are four justices in their 70s. These justices will serve for decades. And, this is a lonely crusade of mine to talk about how important the Supreme Court is as a political issue. But it simply has not caught fire. I think, you know, late in the campaign, the Obama campaign started talking about abortion rights and contraception, but not directly in the context of the Supreme Court. But it's going to be the Supreme Court that has the last word, certainly about abortion rights. And Roe v. Wade hangs by a 5-4 thread at the moment.
Indeed. And so many Republicans mostly want to kind of argue on the one hand that Roe v. Wade is settled law, so liberals on the abortion question shouldn't be using that as a criteria on which to base their election votes. But really, Paul Ryan, even though he wasn't asked explicitly about the Supreme Court in the debate, was asked about abortion, and part of his answer really indicated that he thought Roe was wrongly decided, that it was judicial overreach. And
Mitt Romney has said that explicitly, repeatedly, that he thinks Roe v. Wade is wrong. Obviously, he's changed his position on that, but his position on that is very clear. Yet yesterday, Norm Coleman, the former senator from Minnesota, who was acting as a surrogate for the Romney campaign, said, oh, don't worry, Roe v. Wade survived George W. Bush. So, you know, they're trying to have it both ways. But, you know, this is a core value of the Republican Party today, being opposed to abortion. And just like John Roberts, just like Samuel Alito, a President Mitt Romney will appoint justices who are against a constitutional right to have an abortion. And no one should be misled about that under any circumstance.
Let me get one Sandy-related call in for you. Julianne in Woodbridge, you're on the air. Hi, Julianne.
Hi, honey. It's Joanne, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have one question. Why can they not just change the date of the elections so that everybody here in Jersey that got affected by Sandy, can't we push it, you know, till the following week so we can get everybody to vote?
You know, I don't think Joanne is going to be the last person to ask that question, Jeffrey. Remember, 9/11 was on a New York mayoral primary day.
I voted that morning. I remember.
You actually, so you voted twice in that election if you went back 2 weeks later, but they did.
Repeatedly, yeah.
and so you're the election fraud they've been looking for. But they did, of course, that was a different situation because the attack came on the election day. But is there any legal precedent or possibility for delaying local elections anywhere? Or the national election, for that matter?
Well, the national elections, it would take an act of Congress. The Congress sets election day, and Congress isn't even in session now, so that's not going to happen. I think there is no way the presidential election can be put off unless Congress decides to do it. I imagine some localities could put off their local elections because that's what happened on 9/11. Remember. It was just the New York City elections, and New York City postponed it, so, you know, which was, of course, perfectly within the rights of the city. But there is no way to postpone the presidential election except by act of Congress, and I don't think that is even under consideration, much less going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll see if there are going to be any civil rights lawsuits with respect to being able to vote and not being able to vote as a result of storm damage that may still be affecting people next Tuesday. But in any case, Jeffrey Toobin, legal correspondent for CNN and The New Yorker and author of the new book, The Oath, about President Obama and the Supreme Court. Jeffrey, thank you so much.
Good to talk to you, Ray.
And listeners, we'll continue in a minute. We'll recap some of what we've been talking about this morning with respect to the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. And we want to know from you how you are helping. We want to give people who want to volunteer or who want to donate to places, what is needed out there and what they can do. We want to give folks ideas. So if you've done something or if you're with an organization that has some particular need, give us a call. It's 646-829-3980, 646-829-3980. We'll continue in a minute.